Hi, this is Mark Jenkins. I'm so glad to have this opportunity to share this message with you entitled A Message of Balance. Years ago, the Holy Ghost showed Debbie and myself that He wanted to use us to help bring a message of balance to the body of Christ. The Word of God is referred to as the sword of the Spirit, and one of the key elements of a sword is its balance. God's Word is balanced. But the enemy tries desperately to push us into extreme directions, taking us out of balance. We'll witness that in this message. I hope that you enjoy it. Join with me, if you would, please, in prayer regarding particularly the people here in Tulsa. If you've heard the news, you probably know that there's number of people that have suffered loss as a result of a tornado that came through here last night. So let's pray tonight and as we begin, and let's pray specifically for those people, because there's people that's hurting right now. So join with me if you would, please. Father, we just thank You. Thank You for Your peace and Your comfort. We thank You, Heavenly Father, for wrapping Your arms of love right now around the people that have suffered so much loss in the last 24 hours. Some people have lost their homes. They don't know where they're going to live. They don't know what they're going to do. Father, they're looking for someone to help them. And Father, we release our faith right now in the name of Jesus, that there will be help for those people, and that You, most of all, will be able to comfort their hearts by Your Holy Spirit comforting them, bringing peace to their troubled minds. And Father, I thank You in Jesus' name that this won't be an end for people of despair, but it will be a new beginning for them, and that You'll take what the enemy meant for destruction and turn it to good, in Jesus' name. And Father, as we study Your word tonight, I pray, Father, that Your Holy Ghost, who's the real teacher, would instruct us and teach us tonight. And we thank You for it, Father. And I come against the powers of darkness that would in any way attempt to bring distractions or disturbances of any kind. I arrest you now in Jesus' name. Father, I just thank You for what we're about to learn tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. And I do ask that you keep the people here in the Tulsa area in your prayers regarding that situation. So as we begin tonight, with the thought of the storm in mind, we're going to use that, and I believe the Holy Ghost wants to use this as a teaching moment. We've been talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to continue tonight to talk about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, particularly in regard to what Paul says in Romans chapter 8. So if you would join me, if you grab your Bibles, and if you'd join me, we're going to look at Romans 8. For many of you, that's going to be a very familiar passage, Romans 8. For others, maybe not so much. But I'm telling you, that Romans 8, what Paul wrote there was truly a masterpiece. And it's one of those chapters that, unlike one of the Gospels where you see an account where Jesus went into a city and you see His healing power demonstrated, or you see different aspects and more of a historical account of Him going and doing things. The Romans chapter 8 particularly, there's a revelation in that of what has taken place inside of us the moment that we were born again. And that it begins in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. But the whole chapter, and there's no way we could go through the whole chapter or anything close to that tonight. We're going to look at certain aspects of it. But there's verses in there, one verse, Romans 8, 2. You could write a book on that one verse. And that's not the intent for us tonight. We want to stay real close to what I believe the Holy Ghost wants us to look at. And it's going to be with the idea of what's said by Paul when he makes the statement. I guess I'll probably need to read it here. When he makes the statement in Romans 8, where he says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." Now, if you just take a verse like that, and you just pull it right out of the setting, in other words, if you just pull it out of Romans 8, and you just take that like it's a verse that stands all by itself, you could make that verse say virtually anything. For example, last night, as I was saying, we had a tornado that came through. Now you could, and I'm almost certain that there's going to be preachers, unfortunately, they're going to use a verse like that, and they're going to say, "See, folks, all things work together for good. That was sent by God, and he's got a purpose behind it." It almost makes me cringe to even repeat something that's so far from the truth. To me, that's as bad as cussing, because that is not God at all. And that's not what that verse means at all. You cannot use that. You can't take a verse like that out of its setting and make a blanket statement like all car wrecks, people dying unexpectedly. Well, it's just the plan of God. No, it's not. That's not the plan of God at all. The plan of God is for you to have a rich, long life on this earth. And when you're done fulfilling his plan for your life, you lay this body down and you go be with Jesus for eternity. That's what his plan is. And there is anything less than that is not God's best. Now, if someone dies unexpectedly, hey, if they know Jesus, they're going to go to heaven. So when we mourn the loss of someone, they're happy as they can be. They're in heaven. It's us that have suffered the loss. So, and what happens a lot of times, and I know you can understand this, what happens so much is, you know, some poor pastor gets up in front of a grieving mother or a grieving father, and they lost their teenage son or daughter, or they've lost someone dear to them that's in the prime of their life, and the pastor, and he's not doing it to hurt anybody. He's doing it because he feels like it's right what he's saying, and he's trying to help people and soothe them. But to say that was God's intention and God took that person, that couldn't be farther from the truth. It's like here again last night with the storms in Tulsa. Unfortunately, one person lost their life. God didn't take them. God didn't create that storm and come through Tulsa and destroy people's houses and leave people without a place to live. You've got to be kidding me. That wasn't God at all. But even in the midst of the destruction that was caused here, you know, God is able to cause good to come out of it. And that's what our prayer is for, that he can. So in Romans 8, the verses leading up to that verse, they're so very important, because what Paul does is Paul explains how we get to that point where we can know that all things are in fact working together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Because if you're like me, I want to know how I can get to that point. And I have an idea that the Holy Ghost is going to play a very important role in that coming to pass. See, he's the helper. He's been sent here to help us. Now, you can say, well, if he's been sent here, Mark, then everybody who's born again should be benefiting from this. So if he's here and he's the helper, then it just stands to reason that everybody, all the things that's happening in their life should be being orchestrated by the Holy Ghost. No, that's not the case. And to say that just because the Holy Ghost has been sent and someone has been born again, it still doesn't mean that they're being taught by the Holy Ghost. See, all these things, they're not, and I say this frequently, but they're not automatic. The ministry of the Holy Ghost is not automatic. There's something that we have to do in order to benefit from His ministry. It's like this. God doesn't force Himself on us. He wants us to open the door to Him. So no matter what the avenue is, no matter what the subject is, I should say, we have to realize that there's a door for us to open and allow the Holy Ghost to come in and minister to us. He's not going to force His way in. He's not going to just automatically teach us. If that were the case, because we've looked at verses talking about, in previous messages, talking about the ministry of the Holy Ghost, how He has been sent to teach us. So if that's the case, if it's just automatic, then each one of us should have the same understanding of the Bible, and the preachers ought to be preaching the same message. But we know that that's not the case. We know that there's as many different doctrines as there is denominations, it seems like. Hopefully we can all agree Jesus Christ is Lord. I mean, praise God, if we can't start at that starting point, we're in trouble. That's where I start at. Jesus Christ is Lord. He came to this earth as the Son of God. He died sinless on that cross. He took my sins upon Him, but He Himself was sinless. See, that's where we have to be able to start at. But even at that, we can start there, but somehow we have to empower the Holy Ghost to come and teach us. We have to empower the Holy Ghost to come and to direct our lives so that the plan of God can be worked in our lives. It doesn't come automatically. There's something that we need to do, and that's what we want to learn about, how we can empower Him to bring about that perfect will of God for our lives so that we can fit into that path that God has for our lives. That's where we all want to be. I can tell you that whenever I preach in a public setting in front of a congregation of people and they come up for prayer afterwards, there are so many people. Their request so many times is, I just want to know what the will of God is for my life. I'm telling you, it's without exaggeration, almost every time that I would preach, at least one person would be in that prayer line asking that. I want to know what the will of God is for my life. Well, when you know how to empower the Holy Ghost to intercede on your behalf and to pray out the plan of God according to what? According to the God's greater plan and your place in His plan. See, that's what we want. We want to know where we fit in God's greater plan, because He's got a plan. His plan from this point forward is sending Jesus back to receive the church. So in that bigger plan somewhere, Mark Jenkins has a place. And I want to fit perfectly into my little place and fulfill my little place to perfection. So how does that happen? Do I just say, okay, God, just put me in that place, fit me in there, and God just moves everything out of the way and puts me right in that place. No, it doesn't work like that. There's it's kind of like, I would say it's kind of like a birthing process, really, because it's that intercession that takes place. As you pray out this plan, well, how do you do? Well, a big part of that is praying in other tongues. Now, previously, I would have said that's the main part of it, and it's a key component of it. But there's also putting the Word of God inside of you. That is equally, if really not more important. If you don't have the Word of God inside of you, and you're just praying in tongues, you're not giving the Holy Ghost what He needs to unlock those mysteries on the inside of you and equip you to walk into the plan of God. See, that all fits together. If we're just praying in tongues and not equipping our spirit with the Word of God, we're not giving Him what He needs in order to unlock those mysteries for us and get us to the place where we have something to give out to others as far as fulfilling the will, plan, and purpose of God for our lives. So we're putting Him at a disadvantage. So again, praying in tongues, oh, it's so very important. But equally important, if not more important, is getting the Word of God on the inside of you. So let's go ahead and read the verses that I've been referring to. Romans 8, I'm going to begin with verse 26, 27, 28. Likewise, the Spirit, now this is the Holy Spirit, also helps our infirmities. So when you see that word infirmities, the first thought a lot of times that a person has is, well, that's talking about sickness and disease. In this verse, we're not talking about sickness and disease. The word infirmities here is referring to a weakness that we have. Well, what is that weakness, Mark? Well, he's about to tell us. Well, we'll let him tell us. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. And stop right there. That's a weakness. How is it a weakness, Mark? If you are wanting to know what direction to go in the future, and you're praying, you want God's best for your life, the weakness that you have is you don't know what He has in store for your life. So it makes it almost impossible to pray, let's say, a prayer of a specific prayer about whether I go here, am I going to ask for this, am I going to release my faith for this job or this going to this country or doing this occupation or whatever the case may be. All right. Whatever the case, what you want to do is you want to be able to empower the Holy Ghost to do that kind of praying for you, because you don't know. We don't know what it is that God's plan is for our life. But see, we have the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Ghost. When we get born again, first of all, we don't get born again without the Holy Ghost. So we have the Holy Ghost right there at the new birth. But then, thank God, thank God it doesn't end there. It gets even better, because we can be filled to overflowing with His presence. Just having the Holy Ghost at the new birth is wonderful. But going that step further and welcoming Him to immerse us. Whew. Oh, that's good stuff. To immerse us with Himself. And then to bring this wonderful ability to pray in other tongues. That praying in other tongues, it's what empowers him to do this ministry of intercession, where we don't know what we need to pray as we ought, but he does. See how that works? We don't know, but he does. So by praying in other tongues, we are empowering him to pray a prayer on our behalf that fits perfectly in the will of God. And it not only fits, but it moves us into position, perfectly positioned in the perfect will, plan, and purpose of God for our life. That's just too good for words. See, that's the infirmity that I have, is that I don't know how to pray that kind of prayer in my own language. I just don't know. But God didn't leave us there with that weakness. He provided us the Holy Ghost. And then with that ministry gift of praying in other tongues, we can pray, and it doesn't have to be when we just have an unction to pray. We can pray anytime we want to. We can pray under our breath when we're in the line at the grocery store. We can pray when we drive down the road. I'm telling you what, when you get to the place that you're comfortable praying in tongues on a regular basis, you'll catch yourself praying in tongues and not even realize that you started. I can't tell you how many times I've done that. I catch myself and I realize I've been praying in tongues. I don't even know when I started doing it. And that's good. That's a good sign when you get to that place. And I'm not perfect, believe me. I've got a long ways to go. But I just like the fact that that's happening. So let's get back to this verse again. This is verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself, and I point this out pretty much every time I read it. I don't like that word itself, because the Holy Ghost is not a it, it's a him. He's a him. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That intercession that he's doing on our behalf, it is priceless. Because I don't know what I should be praying for. All I have to do is just begin. Soto botora bakara bashandara basi. Let those words roll out of your mouth and just keep going and keep going and don't stop. And while you're doing that, if it's possible that you can open your Bible and just begin to read your Bible, and it takes a little bit of effort. It's to be able to train yourself how to pray in tongues and read the Bible. But once you get that mastered, it is invaluable. You can sit and pray and read for hours, and the Holy Ghost, you are giving him everything that he needs in order to reveal to you the truth that's in the Word of God, the revelation knowledge. And see, here's what's happening as you're doing that. It is preparing you for the next phase of your life so that you can make those next steps into God's will, plan, and purpose, his perfect plan for you. So that's why it's so important to not only pray in tongues, but pray in tongues and make sure that you're getting the Word of God inside of you, because he's going to use that. He will use that in so many ways. One way is he's going to bring to your attention verses at different times that are going to answer questions. He can use that as a guiding mechanism. If, for example, you could be in a situation where I can't tell you all the different situations you could be in. Let's just say, for example, somebody is sick you know, one of your coworkers is sick. And the only verse that it's a verse that just keeps coming to your attention, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And it's, and it, you just push that thought out of your mind. Next thing you know, lay hands on the sick. And you're like, Lord, I don't know if that's you or not. Let me tell you something. That's the Holy Ghost. And he is as much talking to you at that moment as if he said, hello there. Yeah, you with the blue shirt on. Now put your hands on your coworker and pray for him. See, he's talking to you through the Word of God. Isn't that awesome? But if that verse isn't inside of you, what's he got to pull from? Now, I mean, you've limited him. See, the more of God's Word that you have inside of you, the more he's got to pull from in those situations. He can bring that to your attention. Oh, and the next thing you know, you're praying for your friend, and you're seeing them get healed, and maybe they get saved as a result. Glory to God. See how that works? So let's go back here. Let's read some more. Verse 27. And what we're talking about, the ministry of the Holy Ghost. And he that searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. See, that intercession, like I said earlier, it is not happening automatically. Just because a person gets born again, the Holy Ghost doesn't just suddenly start interceding on their behalf. No. Because God doesn't force himself on us. He wants us to initiate these things. So the problem is the body of Christ, particularly when it comes to the ministry of the Holy Ghost or praying in tongues, we've just simply been ignorant of what it is that we're supposed to do in order to empower him. Well, this is what we're supposed to do. Pray in other tongues. Read the Word of God. Allow him, give him everything that he needs in order to intercede on our behalf. And we can know that the will of God is going to be accomplished in our life. Say, Mark, I just don't know that. I don't believe that. Well, here's what the next verse says. Verse 28, and we know. See that word know? It didn't say we think. And I'm not telling you this. Don't believe me because I'm telling you. Believe the Word of God. This is what the Word of God is saying. You know, I think sometimes that we make the mistake of, you know, just following along with what some preacher says. Don't believe a preacher just because he says it. Believe what the Word of God says. See, my job is to bring these things to your attention, but it's not for you to believe it just because I said it. It's your responsibility. Take this, take the Word of God, go before the Lord, let the Holy Ghost reveal this to your spirit, and you make sure that this is what this Word is saying. Let the Holy Ghost reveal it to your heart. And please don't get me wrong. I'm not saying to disrespect anybody by any means. But don't just swallow everything that everybody gives you. It's each one of our responsibility to find out exactly what the Word of God is saying by having the Holy Ghost reveal it to our hearts. So that's just a little side note there. All right. But verse 28, and we know, not we think, but we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. That's what we want in our life. And that isn't just going to happen automatically. It's going to happen because we empower the Holy Ghost to work on our behalf. We empower him by using the tools that have been provided to us. And we are the ones that make the decision whether or not we're going to pray and whether or not we're going to empower him to intercede for us. So let's go back to where we started at with this whole thing. You have situations that happen. You have negative things, bad things happen. So is using a verse like this, using a verse like this going to be the way that you're going to answer this for other people? Well, all things work together for good. No, by no means. We're not going to lay this at God's feet. We're not going to lay disasters and car wrecks and people dying unexpectedly at God's feet and say, well, it's just God's, this is the will of God. God took them. No, no, that's not what we're going to do. We're going to look at these verses. We're going to leave them in their context. And we're going to realize that it's our responsibility to do what, use the tools that God has provided us with and pray out the will, plan, and purpose of God by empowering the Holy Ghost to intercede on our behalf. Where it says that, verse 27 again, and he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. That mind of the Spirit that's the purpose of God, the plan. See, he knows, how does he know? Well, he's God. He's the third member of the Godhead. So he knows what this is. He knows what the plan of God is. And more importantly, he knows where you fit into his plan. Now, the verse just came back to my remembrance is back in, and I'd like you to turn there for a second, is back in John chapter 14. Give me just a second. We're going to look at verse 26 first. We've been looking at this verse pretty much each of these past few lessons where we've been talking about the Holy Ghost, because verse 26 tells us about the Holy Ghost. This is Jesus speaking, and he says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. That's good stuff. He's going to bring things to your remembrance. There's the aspect of bringing the verses to your attention. It's not just going to be what Jesus said. The Holy Ghost can bring all the different verses in the Bible that deal specifically with whatever the situation is. He can bring you under conviction with that too. For example, let's say that you've committed sin and that you feel that conviction in your heart, and that the next thing you know, here comes a verse that's convicting you. Here's the verse is telling you, this is, you know, don't do this and or whatever, and you've done it, and you realize that this is the Holy Ghost. He's communicating with you. He's showing you, you need to repent from this. You've done this. You're in unforgiveness. Maybe you're in strife, envy, whatever it could be. But the verses are coming back to your attention, and he's trying to get you to do what? To repent. He wants you to repent, and he's using the Word of God to direct you to do that. Now, in all of this, one thing that you haven't heard me make a lot of mention of is the Holy Ghost speaking directly to you. Now, in previous messages leading up to this, we have shown you verses where the Holy Ghost said things specifically. One account was in Acts 10, where the Holy Ghost spoke specifically to Peter, telling Peter to leave Cornelius' house, to go with the people that Cornelius had sent, and don't ask any questions. And that was the specific words that Holy Ghost told to Peter. All right. The next example we pointed out was in Acts 13. Acts 13 was where you had the group of prophets and teachers. Barnabas was one of that group. Saul, or Paul, was part of that group. The Holy Ghost said, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas for the work whereunto I have called them. So there's another instance where the Holy Ghost said something. So yes, we have times where the Holy Ghost will speak to us and tell us things. But what you've heard me say even as much as that has been where the Holy Ghost brings these verses to your remembrance, and that is as much Him communicating with us as the other. So, and I'm just reinforcing that again. I want you to, and I believe the Holy Ghost wants you to look at all the different aspects of Him communicating, and not to just be narrowly focused on one thing, but to look at all of the various ways. You know, maybe He'll speak to you just bringing a picture to your attention. You know, He does that with me quite frequently. Next thing I know, there seems like it just floats up from inside of me somewhere, and it's a picture or something. And I know this is the Holy Ghost trying to get my attention, communicate with me, direct me to do something regarding whatever He's just shown me. All right, so, all right, let's go back here. We read verse 26. The one I wanted to point out was actually in verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace. So he talks about the Comforter in verse 26, and he immediately follows that up with what? Peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I'm telling you, if there's anything that I have witnessed in the members of the body of Christ, it's a lack of peace. A lack of peace and fearfulness. We aren't to be afraid. We're not to be all distraught about things. We have the Comforter Himself who's come to live on the inside of us. And one of the things that I have found that people are distraught about is the plan of God, the purpose of God, the will of God for their lives. And they get all upset about it. They get distraught. They lose their peace. They get in fearfulness. That's not God. God doesn't want you to be afraid. God doesn't want you to be out of peace. He doesn't want you to be fretful, worry about any of it. He just told us right here, Jesus just said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And yet, I'm telling you, I've seen it time and time again. People are, they're fearful. I'm going to miss God. I'm going to miss God. Are you praying in tongues? Are you meditating the Word? Are you giving the Holy Ghost what He needs to direct your life into the perfect will, plan, and purpose of God? Because if you are, I'm not saying that you may not make a misstep here or there, but if you're giving Him what He needs to direct your life, then don't be fearful. Let the Comforter comfort you. Let Him comfort you. And be at peace. And know that even if you make a misstep here or there, that He's going to cause all things to work together for your good. So maybe there are things that happen in our life that, like a tornado. But now we know it wasn't God. But again, we know that God can take those situations and turn them to good. Something good could come out of it, even if you're the one that got devastated. It doesn't mean that something good can't come out of it. There's things that happen all the time to us. Now, we use our authority. When that storm came through last night, Debbie was speaking to the storm clouds. I was speaking to the storm clouds. Did I get a little fearful? I have to admit. I was in my car and I was looking at the sky and it was a little bit frightening. But even at that, I kept driving, speaking to the clouds, telling them to dissipate, telling them they're not going to turn into a twister, even though their clouds were looking like they were about to. I commanded them to stop, and I just kept driving. So what I'm saying is this, that you don't have to be that person who's fearful, who's afraid to miss God. I'm telling you, I've seen it so many times with people. They don't think that they're going to fulfill God's plan. They feel like they're going to miss it. If you give him what he needs, you don't even have to know what you're praying about. You just pray in tongues. Get the word of God inside of you and allow him to guide you. And don't expect that everything that you do is going to be perfect. That's the great thing about it, because he can even take the missteps and still turn it out to his good. See, that's important. That's very important. So now at this point in the message, I want to bring out something that I have come to discover as of late, and I think it'll help you. Something that I learned a long time ago about the Word of God is that there's balance in the Word of God. You know, the Word of God is likened to a sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. If you do a little checking, you can do it on the internet. I looked on the internet here this afternoon. You can look up just about normal swords, and you can find out that one thing that a person that collects swords or that knows about swords, what they look for is balance. If a sword is not properly balanced, it could actually fall apart. The handle, when they use it, could fall apart. And what happens when they strike something with that sword, if it's not balanced properly, the repercussions come back into that handle. So it has to be balanced. Why do I say that? The Word of God is balanced. It is perfectly balanced. Now, people take the Word of God and they get out of balance. The Lord wants us to stay in balance. Now, I want to share this with you. Do with it what you want to. Something that I have found is that there's basically two different ideas that I've come across, and maybe there's more and I just haven't come across them yet. There's one camp that is everything is word, and I am a word person, and I think the Bible, you got to get in the Bible and get the Bible into you. Part of the things that I've seen and noticed about that camp is, or the people that follow that, is that, well, if the Word of God says it, then I'm just going to go do it. All right? Well, there's a problem with that. And the problem is, just because you see a verse doesn't necessarily mean that that's for you to do at that particular moment. Now, if the Holy Ghost quickens something to your heart, and he's trying to get you to move in that direction, that's a different story altogether. But just to open the Bible, and we'll just take an example here. If you're just going to open the Bible up to, let's say, Matthew 28, and you start reading here in verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go you therefore and teach. And that word teach, in case you didn't know it, is talking about making a disciple. Okay? Not making a convert, making a disciple. Go you therefore and teach all nations. Well, now somebody that's just looking for an excuse to go do what they want to do, they can take that kind of a verse and say, well, see, I'm supposed to go. He told me to go into all the world, so I'm just going to go to another country and start preaching. See, I have his word right here. This is God's word. And see, that camp that follows that, see, that's kind of in an extreme direction, all right? Now, that's on one side of the road. It would ditch on the one side to think that just because I see it in the Word means I'm going to go do it because it's God's telling me to go do it just because I read it. Now, on the other side of the road, there's another ditch. The other ditch is I can't do anything until the Holy Ghost tells me to do it. All right? See, that's a problem too. Because I talked to you already. I already showed you. There are times the Holy Ghost speaks. We just covered those a few minutes ago. Acts 10 was one example that we saw the Holy Spirit speak. In Acts 13 was another example where the Holy Ghost said something. But there are times that, and we've covered this in the previous messages leading up to this, there's times that you don't see the Holy Ghost speaking or saying something to the individual or to the group, and yet you know that that person is being led by the Holy Ghost. So, where is that coming from? Well, we've already talked about the leadership that comes from the intercession, from praying in other tongues, that we can know that we're being led by the Holy Ghost. We can know that. And so to think that you can't do anything without hearing something first from God, that's taking it to an extreme. Because I don't see that in the book of Acts. Just like I don't see in the book of Acts that just because it said something in the Bible was a license to someone to go do it. So what we want to do is we want to find the balance in this so that I'm not using one or the other as an excuse. In other words, I'm not going to not do something that the Word says to do because I didn't hear the Holy Ghost tell it to me to do it specifically. You follow what I'm saying? For example, recently, and I think this is a real good example, just here it is. Recently, my car was damaged. Yeah, I hit a pothole and it just messed everything up. And did God cause me to hit the pothole? Absolutely not. But I'm going to tell you something good came out of it. Something good came out of it. So, hit the pothole, car needs to be fixed. And this wonderful friend of ours has, they found out about it and they wanted to bless us with the paying for the parts, and I thank God for that. God bless them. So that was a wonderful. And then, so I fixed the car and I put the part on myself. And then, but the car has to be, the wheels had to be aligned because I hit that pothole. So I had to take it to a person to align the wheels. I couldn't do that myself. And I'm sitting in the shop in the front of the business, and this guy's sitting across from me. And he started, you know, kicking up a conversation with me. And he was there applying for a job. And so he talked a little bit, and he started filling out his application. And, you know, did I hear anything? I didn't hear anything. But this impression came to me to just start talking to him, because I previously, in one of the jobs I had before, I was a manager of the hired people. So I gave him some pointers on what to do to get the job, you know, that he was trying to get. And in the course of talking to him, you know, I just, you know, 2 or 3 minutes I was talking to him. Next thing I know, this young man's telling me about his life story. It was quite a surprise to me because I was just sitting there minding my own business. And the next thing I know, he's telling me about his, you know, he's in his early 30s and he's had one wife and a child and a second wife and two children and just and I could tell that something had happened, and he had, you know, he a chemical dependency. He had created a chemical dependency, and his life had really started to come apart at the seams. Well, you know, I don't have to have a word from the Lord to know whether or not I should share Jesus with this person. Now, I want you to picture this. I didn't have to have a word from the Lord to go to the alignment place. But see, all of the time that I've spent praying in tongues has empowered the Holy Ghost to bring all this together so that I'm there at the exact same moment that this person is there. And I don't have to have God line up a sign in the sky, "Mark, witness to this guy." I mean, I can put two and two together. I can see that what God has done. And so I let him continue to fill out the application. And eventually I looked up at him and I said, "You know," I said, "your life is going to continue to go in this direction until you make a change of some sort." And I said, "Until you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life." And he shook his head. He said, "Yeah, I know. I was in church and everything was going good." And I said, "No, it's not about a church." I said, "It's about a personal relationship with Jesus." Now, let me ask you something. Do you think that God didn't orchestrate that whole encounter? Now, did God make me hit the pothole? Of course not. See, that's where the nonsense comes in. God didn't cause that, but he caused something good to come out of it. Well, Mark, how did he do it? Because I empowered him through praying in tongues. Well, Mark, didn't you hear the Holy Ghost tell you to go to that will alignment place? No, I didn't. But yet, there was, you know, just an idea came to me to do it. That's as much God as anything. He got me in the place he wanted me to be at. I'm not trying to shortchange hearing the voice of God. If you, bless God, if God wants to talk to me, I want to hear it. But I also don't want to miss all of the other ways that he guides me and directs me. And particularly because I'm giving him that right by praying in other tongues, and he is able to work his plan in my life because I pray and I read the Word of God. See, all of it goes together. And if I just tell you just pray in tongues, see, now I could get off balance there, because it's not just praying in tongues. It's all of these things. It's praying in tongues, reading the Word of God, confessing the Word of God, all of them coming together. Ultimately, God's plan is being worked in my life, and I see the fruit of it because I'm able to share Jesus with this young man who needs Jesus desperately. And God has been able to use me to share light in this person's life, and I thank God for it. So, turn over to John, if you will, John chapter 11. Jesus, in John chapter 11, Jesus has been informed that his friend Lazarus, you can see it in verse 1, a certain man was sick named Lazarus. So Jesus becomes aware of this. Let's read here a little bit. Verse 4. When Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God." Now, that doesn't mean that the reason for the sickness was for the glory of God. Problem is, in some, you know, in a verse like this, the translators put the comma in a place that it really shouldn't be. The essence of what's being said here, the idea that's being said, is this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, because of the glory of God. It's not in to give God the glory in the sickness or to in the healing, but for it's talking about the reason that he's not going to die is because of the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. So, verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Verse 6, when he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Now, wait a minute. Here's Jesus. He should have just jumped up, ran out the door, and gone and prayed for Lazarus. Well, he didn't. Now here's where people can read something into a verse that's not there. And I've talked to people, I've talked to preachers that want to read something into this verse that does not exist here. What they want to do is say, well, Jesus must have heard something. See, they're coming from this camp over here where you have to hear something in order to do it. Jesus had to hear something from God in order to know whether he should go or not. Well, it doesn't say that. And that's not what Jesus is about to talk about here, because he's going to teach you why it is that he waited those 2 days. Verse 7, then after that he saith unto his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? They're not anxious to go with him. They tried to kill you, Jesus. Don't go. Jesus answered, now here is the reason that he knew to wait, and then he knew when to go. Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbles not, because he sees the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbles, because there's no light in him. And you say, Mark, that doesn't sound like much of an answer at all. Yes, it is. It all comes down to the fact that the leadership was coming out of that reborn human spirit. The light that they were talking about is the light that comes to us when we receive the life of God in that reborn human spirit. Now remember, who comes to live inside of us? Isn't that the Holy Ghost? Of course it is. So you don't get the light without the Holy Ghost being on the inside of you. So he's saying that there's a leadership that's coming through this reborn human spirit, that leadership that originates in the mind of God, and it's coming through, and I know, I have a knowing whether I need to go or whether I need to stay. And it's this light that this light of the life of God that's on the inside of me. There's a witness. Remember, back in Romans, and I'll finish with this verse, Romans 8, one more time, if you go back there. Verse 16, the Spirit, and that's the Holy Spirit, himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. There's that bearing witness going on the inside. That bearing witness is a knowing. And I experienced that. To do one thing or not, or to do something else. And see, it's him on the inside of me, and it's coming through my spirit. And that's what Jesus is saying, because he's saying, when you get born again and that light comes, you have that light and you don't have that darkness. See, that darkness is spiritual death. But when that light's there, the Holy Ghost is in there, and there's a guidance that's going to come, and it's going to come through that avenue of the Spirit, and it's going to be the way that the Holy Ghost can direct you. Glory to God. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for what we have learned tonight. We know that you have a good plan for us. And now we know what we need to do in order to empower the Holy Ghost to walk us directly into everything that you have for us, your perfect will, plan, and purpose being accomplished in our life. We thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. That was good. I enjoyed that.
Hi, this is Mark. I hope that you enjoyed that message. For more information about our ministry, you can write to us at Mark Jenkins Ministries, P.O. Box 701138, Tulsa, Oklahoma 74170. Or you can contact us via the internet at www.